Hey, everybody.
Hi. Welcome to another episode
of Magic the Amateuring. I'm Megan, and I'm in Minneapolis.
I'm Maria, and I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, home of Southern accents, buy one, get two free cowboy boots, and hot chicken.
Are there really buy one, get one free?
Buy one, get
cowboy
two
boots?
Free.
Buy one, get two free?
Yeah.
Is that like per boot, though? So you buy one boot, and then you get like two other boots, so you have three boots?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah. And then so it's like, well, I should probably buy another one of this deal so that I have six boots total, which is three pairs of boots.
That's how they get you. That's how they get you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it makes sense. Do you know what? I can see a pair of cowboy boots from where I'm sitting.
Are you bringing them?
No. They're too big.
Megan is coming down to Nashville tomorrow, is it? Or are you coming today?
Today.
Oh, shoot. Cool. Okay,
yeah.
So Megan's joining me here in Nashville for the Pro Tour. It's going to be a party coming up this weekend. I hope you all tune in, twitch.tv/magic. And we're going to get our Smashville on, which is my new nickname for Nashville that I came up with right
which
now.
Which is a really unfortunate thing to call it.
Yeah, so we're recording from, you know, not two different parts of the globe, but, you know, I mean, literally we are, but not, you know.
I mean, like, technically it is two different parts of the globe. But technically, anytime we're recording, it's from two different parts of the globe.
Yeah, that's true, because we're not sitting in the exact same spot.
No, we cannot physically be occupying the exact same space.
So we're on the show today, we're going to give you a Pro Tour preview, what you can expect as the pros throw down at Pro Tour Almond Cat here in Nashville. We're going to talk about the weekend that was GP Richmond, GP Bologna, and GP Beijing that featured Almond Cat Limited, which Megan's been playing a lot of recently. So we're going to get some draft insights. And we're going to play Flavor Text Theater, you know, over the internet.
Yeah, like we do. The internet version of Flavor Text Theater, which still involves real life packs.
Yes.
Hence why I'm holding one.
But before we do, of course, you know the drill. We got to thank you for helping us make this show a reality. So thank you to everybody who supports us on patreon.com/mtacast. The less than 1% club is the best than 1% club, which is a terrible motto. So I'm going to walk that one back.
No, I mean, you said it. So now it's canon. The less than 1% club is the best than 1% club. Technically, the second half of that phrase isn't grammatically correct, and I don't know that it means anything, but it means something in our
hearts.
Right. Just like you contributing to the show means a lot to our hearts.
It does. It's so wonderful to see new members supporting the show, and it makes you feel good too, right? When you support something that you care about that gives you happiness every week. So just as little as a dollar an episode goes a long way to help support our show. So consider joining our family. Patreon.com/MTACast.
And thank you as well to our sponsor, CardKingdom.com. CardKingdom.com/MTACast. If you've been drafting an absurd amount of Almond Cat like I have, you're probably in need of more boosters. Go and get them at CardKingdom.com/MTACast.
It's the coolest store for the coolest Almond Cats around.
That's
put that
right.
On a t-shirt.
I mean, I wonder if they have written that down somewhere.
They should.
Yeah, like it seems very possible, right?
Yeah.
Like maybe even probable. And if they haven't, well, now they should.
You know this pack right here, Megan? So we give away every card we open in a drawing to a patron.
Yes.
I got this pack playing in a in-store draft here in Nashville.
Uh-huh.
I went
in
to
Nashville?
Yeah, in Nashville. We stopped by a local game store, and I went 2-1 with a pretty sweet, I don't know what you would call it, white weenie strategy, essentially.
Yeah.
But I gave packs to the people I beat because, you know, I just got to make them feel a little bit better for me smashing their faces in. just kidding. They were great. They're great people. And one of the guys cracked the pack that I gave him, and it was a Gideon of the Trials.
What?
Yeah.
Nice.
So we'll see.
That's awesome.
We'll see if there's another Gideon hiding in this one.
Yeah, that's right. Or this one, which is from my holdover from pre-release weekend. This is one of the packs I got at that sweet, sweet Almond Cat pre-release.
Awesome.
Yeah, and if you're watching the video, you know that I now have rubbed this pack all over my face. So
worth more.
Yeah.
Limited GP weekend. Everyone, I hope you were watching last weekend because there's three big GPs around the world in the limited world of Magic. So we had Grand Prix Richmond, Grand Prix Bologna, and Grand Prix Beijing, where players were throwing down in some Almond Cat sealed and draft on day two. And some pretty cool stuff happened. Not only was it a window into what we might expect in the draft portion of the Pro Tour, but we got a see what people were thinking and sealed as well for Almond Cat, which will matter for your local PPTQs coming up if you're going to try and make your own way onto the Pro Tour or just go in and play a PPTQ because they're super fun.
I was going to say the format was limited, but the scope of these tournaments around the globe wasn't.
Nailed it.
Got that one out of the way.
It was really, really cool to see because you could kind of see what people had been doing in preparation through the way that they were building and playing their decks, which was really neat. And I was commentating at GP Richmond, so I got a pretty, up close and personal seat on that action. And there was a few really awesome things that I saw happen.
So, Maria, coming out of GP Richmond, looking at that top eight draft, looking at some of the other drafts that you got to watch, what strategies did you notice were particularly powerful?
So the number one takeaway for me was that most teams were focusing on drafting aggressive decks. And when I say aggressive, I don't mean just aggressive. I mean aggressive. This was crazy. And it got to the point where we watched Martin Dang in the top eight.
Yep.
Second pick, a Bloodlust Insider, which is a 1-1 for one that taps to give something haste.
So I have seen a lot of that card in drafts online, like in drafts in person. This card is something that people are like kind of big on right now, yeah?
Oh yeah, they're huge on it. And it's not only him, it's not only Martin Dang, it's a lot of other people think that drafting red-white aggro is the best strategy right now in draft. And it was so funny when he picked that Bloodlust Insider. JVL was in the booth with me, and I thought he was going to have an aneurysm.
And like I guess it's not surprising to me.
Why?
Just because I've seen, I've seen so much of it. Like the Bloodlust Insider, I mean.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like it's not surprising to me to see someone pick that because it. I've seen it do work so far this format.
It does, because if you're going to attack with, for example, an Emberhorn Minotaur, and you're going to exert it, what are they going to do? Like, here it comes. It's hasty. It's exerted. It has menace and plus one now. Like,
exactly. Like, you're going to get hit with a hasty 5/4 menace on turn four. Holy
yeah,
cow.
It's incredible. And I think we got to, we just have to at least respect that card because it represents quite a lot of damage, even though it itself is just a paltry little 1/1. So,
yeah.
That was nuts.
I do have to say that, my only reservation about that card is that there have been times, obviously if your opponent stabilizes at all and then you draw it later in the game, it's just, the worst card to play on turn four.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's just what am I doing with turn four? Well, here's this Bloodlust Insider I just drew.
And speaking of aggressive decks, in Beijing, the guy who came out on top was Kelvin Chu. And his deck had not one, not two, not three, not four, but 5 Cartouche of Zeals.
Wow. That is impressive.
So he definitely got the memo.
That card represents a lot of damage because not only does it give something haste, but it also makes a creature, unable to block. And so you're effectively, it's not just one creature that's getting in for more damage. It represents two creatures getting in for more damage.
Absolutely. It gives your creature a bonus.
Which is pretty impressive.
And you can bounce it if you're playing things like Trial of Solidarity, which is fantastic in red-white. or red green for that matter. I mean, white green.
Yeah. Or Trial of Red, which is just like a great card to be able to cast again.
Oh yeah, Trial of Zeal. Boom, bounce it. Boom, 6 damage.
There have been so many times when I've been drafting and I had that, like, I've just sent that 3 damage to people's faces so many times.
Oh yeah. Do you know,
to just be like, oh, your life total is like nice and low.
So Brian Bronduin almost went undefeated at this Grand Prix, okay? He entered the top 8 without a single loss. So that's insane.
Holy cow.
Right? And in the history of every Grand Prix ever in the history of Magic, nobody has ever gone undefeated at a Grand Prix. So
no, not all the way through.
It was pretty sad. He got knocked out in the first round. He had a green-white deck, but what you reminded
including,
me of.
Including an Angel of Sanctions.
Yes.
That card is nuts.
That card, obviously. One of the best 3 people have been saying. Best 3, Angel of Sanctions, Archfiend of Ifnir, and Glorybringer. So.
Yeah. You know, I have yet to play against or play with that Archfiend.
It's like, a dream.
Does he really exist? is what I'm saying.
There was a draft here where somebody picked it. I wasn't calling it, but he got it like 3rd pick or something like that. And he just started stroking it slowly, like petting it on camera after he picked it. it was pretty good.
Nice.
But
So going back to Martin Dang's red-green deck real quick. I know that a couple people have mentioned this card, I think. And it's one that I've been super impressed with, is Hooded Brawler.
Oh, yes.
It's the 2 and a green for a 3/2 that you can exert, and it gets +2/+2 until end of turn.
Yeah.
And Martin's deck had 3 of them. And, like, that card is just so good.
I mean, I think it's literally a 5/4 for 3, okay? And the reason I say that is because not only are there a ton of ways to untap it to make the exert not a drawback, but also in this format, it's pretty bad to block because of exert.
Yeah.
So a lot of racing is going on, so it's just normally going to be a 5/4 for 3.
Yeah. And I think, like, there's so few things that block a 5/4 well in this format, especially. And a lot of them cost, like, 5 mana. Yeah. So you don't want to be, like, a person swings in with their Hooded Brawler, like, their 3 mana creature, and you don't want to block with, like, your 5 drop, but the options are to, like, block with your 5 drop or to take 5 damage.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to trade your final reward for the 3 mana creature? Like, barf.
Yeah, exactly. It's, like, so gross. So that's a card that I have been very happy with when I've been drafting it.
Hooded Brawler, OP. I pack 1, picked 1, Trial of Solidarity in my draft the other night, and I think it was correct. When I was talking about BBD earlier, he mentioned on Twitter, so the guy who won the tournament, Michael Baranecki, he had a deck that had Liliana in it, as well as Bantu, so double mythic. Bantu.
That's pretty nice.
Pretty nice. Not the best god, of course. But that's true.
And especially in limited, I'll give it to you, Bantu is especially kind of hard, I think.
Yeah, he is. I mean, you've got to sacrifice a creature to turn him on, and that's not a small cost to pay in limited whatsoever. So his deck, not particularly, it was red-black, but Bantu, he was there. He was trying to do his thing. On Twitter, BBD said, the only god I recognize is the Trial of Solidarity. And I thought that was pretty good.
It's a good card. All of the trials. I mean, like, I'm all about the drafting cartouches and trials.
Oh, absolutely. They're so strong. And you're not, like, getting something bad with them either. Like, you're not giving anything up by deciding to go on the cartouche trial plan. You're just getting extra value.
Yeah. It's just great. It's just great.
Did you have a particularly awesome draft recently?
I feel like a couple of weeks ago when we were on stream, we drafted that, like, green-black counters deck, which was great.
Yeah.
But since then, like, that's been my only 3-0 online so far. And everything else has been, like, I've been, like, pretty reliably, like, 2-1-ing.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I will, like, I've been getting really into drafting what I would consider, like, very niche, or, like they're, like, going kind of deep on different ideas.
Sure. And that's really great, because you can do that in this set. You have the tools. Like, there's Sandworm Convergence, there's Drakehaven, there's Nest of Scarabs.
Yeah.
These are the things that call to us.
Yeah. So I've done, like, a couple of, like, blue-white, like, flyers and embalm, like, decks. I've done a couple of just, like, green-white exert decks. A couple of, like, red, I think red-green, like, or red-white also, like, exert or kind of, like, very aggro decks. It's been a lot of fun.
Awesome.
And I would say, like, the thing that is probably the through line is, like, when we were talking about the trials and cartouches, like, I draft a lot of trials and cartouches. like every time a trial comes around, if it's in my color, like, snap pick it.
Oh, yeah.
And if it's not in my color, I still, like, think about it pretty hard.
Because it's so, like, those cartouche of ambition. It, like I said earlier, this format right now is about racing and it's about attacking. And what does Cartouche of Ambition do? If you're behind, it swings it in your favor. If you're ahead, well, it just crushes them more and gives their dude a -1/-1 counter, which kills quite a lot of things in this format that are actually pretty good. Like,
it kills a lot. And especially when we were talking about, like, that red-white aggro deck, because I have played against that, like, definitely a couple of times in draft. And there were times when I was playing black, and it's just, like, that card kills, like, a single -1/-1 counter kills a lot of their creatures.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
kills a bloodlust insider.
Just gets them real dead. Like, or, like, Nephcrop Entangler.
Yep.
Is that the 2/1 for 1 and a red that you can exert it to give it +1/+2, and it has trample?
Yes. Yeah, takes that down.
Exactly. Like, I see that card, like, quite a bit from those aggro decks, and it's just like, yeah, that's gone. Goodbye.
Yeah, it's pretty it's a pretty cool format. In Sealed, we saw just the breadth of decks that you would expect to see. Like, we saw a 5-color monstrosity or masterpiece. I don't know what you want to call it. It went undefeated on day one. That was just every awesome rare shoved into the same deck. And then we also saw like Yoel Larson's hyper-aggressive red build that was ditching all of his cards to play the 4/3 brawler Minotaur for 2 mana. So, like, I think in Sealed you can kind of do anything depending on your build. But know that, you know, 5-color insanity is viable, as is aggressive strategies if you get the cards.
Yeah.
Are you going to be PPTQing coming up in the future?
You know, I am looking forward to, we're traveling, you know, the next couple of weekends. We've got Nashville, and then I'm working at GP Montreal in case people are going to be there. Please come say hi. And then the weekend after that, there are 2 PPTQs. One is limited, and which I expect that you will be there with me.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other is standard. And I plan on going to both of those to try and pick up those last few sweet, sweet Planeswalker points that I need.
How many more do you need for a buy?
Maria, it's like 60.
You're so close.
It's so close that if I don't make it, I will be just disgusted.
You know,
with myself, I'll be like disappointed with myself thoroughly.
You should just jam some drafts at local stores and stuff too.
That's true. And again, like I mentioned, I'm going to work at GP Montreal, but I'm flying in a day early, which means that I get to be there all day on Friday. So I'm going to hopefully jam some drafts and jam some other kinds of games at GP Montreal on Friday before I get to work in the evening. So again, if you happen to be there, come say hi. Maybe I'll catch you in a draft.
And if you drop by, speaking of saying hi, if you drop by the convention center here in Nashville, to check out what it looks like at the Pro Tour. You know, we'll be hanging out.
It's so cool.
Yeah, it's so cool. Like, the stage for the feature matches is going to be in the middle of the room again. There's just going to be, you know, pro players hanging out, like normal everyday human beings. And there's going
to
be...
And you can... There's like a viewing area too. So like you're welcome to like come and sit and watch.
Yeah. And you can buy magic t-shirts and stuff there. The play mat for the pro tour. So people will think you were on it. And you're like, yeah, I qualified for the pro tour. No big deal. So come down and say hi if you're here at Nashville as well.
Hey, everybody. It's time for a standard corner.
It's just the standard corner.
It's just your average run-of-the-mill corner where we talk about standard.
And this standard corner, we're going to be talking about standard leading up to the pro tour here. And after the batting of Felidar Guardian, what the heck are people going to do?
That's right. The world is a wide open place that is full of, mountains and valleys and hidden icebergs to discover. And
mummies things. And gods and pyramids of pantheons.
And Stonehenges. Multiple Stonehenges to discover.
Ooh, I would discover another henge if I could.
Like, if there's one of them, there's probably more.
There's a lot of henges over in the UK. They're henge full.
Oh, they are? I guess I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Are they made of other things? Or are they all made of stone?
Well, you know, the ones that are still around are the stone ones. But I can imagine that there were some other materialed henges back in the day. You know, if they didn't have, like, stones or tools to shape the stones laying around, they're like, what should we make this henge out of? And they're like, oh, well, here's some wood. We could put it together. Okay,
yeah.
Wood henge. But,
we need, like, a wood henge. We need a, what other kind of henges?
You can make a mound, like a henge out of mound.
Yeah, like a grass henge,
mm-hmm.
a bone henge.
Oh, terrifying. Yeah, it's really cool because.
What's that? It's the bone henge. I was thinking like animal
bones. Oh, were you? Okay, well, I went straight to human bones.
No, that would be creepy. That would be like very, very, very creepy.
You can look on satellite imagery. They find places where there were other henges, which are since lost to time. But perhaps those were wood henges, no longer with us, RIP. But so far, I don't know if there's ever been a bone henge. When I go back and study henge history for my PhD, I'll look.
Yeah, I've heard that it's a very unique. Do you know what? Like, there definitely is that PhD.
Henge history? All right.
I mean, like, okay, it's probably not called that, but like, it's probably like a branch of a history PhD that you can get is just a PhD about the different kind of henges.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, 100% that's a thing.
What were we talking about?
Standard.
Oh, yeah. My chair almost killed me. I leaned too far back. Oh, God. It was a close one, everyone.
What were we talking about before we went off on a tangent about bone henges?
A henge tangent. Yeah, so standard.
So,
okay.
Kind of the word on the street is that Mardu vehicles is still going to be, like, a huge part of the metagame.
Yeah, that's also what I've been hearing.
So, like, very heavily represented is what people are thinking coming into this. You know, it's still a really solid deck. It's a great deck. It has a lot of very powerful cards in it. A lot of people are very familiar with how to pilot it already because they've been piloting it for a while, which is definitely, something that's not to be sneezed at.
Yeah. Yeah, Mardu Vehicles was a strong deck, remains a strong deck. I think the real, question we're looking at here is there going to be anything to be able to unseat it, right?
And yeah, I mean, I for one really freaking hope so.
So do I, actually. Like, it won the last Pro Tour. I would like to see another deck, something new, something fresh, enter the scene
Do you know what I am tired of? It is Scrap Heap Scroungers piloting Hearts of Kieran.
This little robot.
Get that
dude.
Scrap Heap Scrounger out of that plane.
There's a robot flying a plane over there. Oh, just just daily life on Kaladesh. That's going to be our life, Megan. Do you understand it? Google driverless cars is essentially Scrappy Scrounger driving us around in Heart of Kieran.
Wow. I mean, you're not wrong.
Think about that. Pretty soon it claims, and then it will be even more literal.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of plane driving. Piloting.
Uh-huh.
I feel like is like, you know, a lot of the plane flies itself, right?
Yeah, that is true. That's true.
Like, you have to make decisions and that sort of thing, or there's, like, some stuff that people do. But, like, there's a lot of plane piloting that, you know, the plane is its own pilot.
Automated.
Anyway. You be your own pilot plane. Moving on. What were we talking about?
Hinges.
Standard.
Oh, hinges. Yes.
That's correct.
Standard.
So Aetherworks Marvel is a deck that people think might be kind of on the up and up now that Saheeli Cat is out of the way.
Yes, absolutely. And it was a deck that we saw more of in the past, so it might be making its resurgence, you know, minus Emrakul, of course. But
that's
perhaps
right.
Playing some other big fatties that are going to make the best use of the Marvel. I did play a deck online that was Saheeli Cat minus Felidar Guardian. But I never got to see what the payoff was.
Yeah, like why? Was it just, by that do you mean it was like four color control?
Sure. Oh, bless you.
Excuse me.
It had Saheeli and it had Chandra and it looked very similar. I mean, there was Whirler Virtuoso, Rogue Refiner, that kind of thing. But I didn't know what she was trying to copy.
I don't know how I feel about Saheeli without the combo. You know, like in the standard before Felidar Guardian hit, there wasn't really a lot of Saheeli running around.
No.
Like just the card itself, because there's not a lot of other, like, really crazy powerful stuff that you can do with it.
Yeah. I wanted them to do something because I wanted to know what the deal was, but it just never happened. And I don't know if that's just the deck or what.
Why won't you do something?
Yeah. I was playing.
Yeah, I don't know.
One of Craig Wesco's builds. So, you know, Craig Wesco, friend of the show, loves to play white decks. And he posted three different builds online. There was a white weenie version. There was a red-white version. And what was the other one? Let me take a peek here. But I played the red-white version, which featured such cards as Glorybringer, which, of course, is amazing. And the other version was green-white. And it's red, white, exert, so you're playing cards like Glorybound Initiate, Glorybringer, Gustwalker, and then, of course, you have Always Watching, which is my favorite thing ever, and four copies of Cast Out, as well as Gideon of the Trials, instead of our other older friend, Chad. So, the deck turned out to be, like, fine. I only played three matches with it. I won one, lost two. The two that I lost were two green-black, which is, you know, pretty good against it, because it does have cards like Fatal Push, which is, you know, kind of brutal, and what's it called? Yeheni's Expertise, which destroys it.
Question, was the green-black deck that you played against, was it like a Snek deck? Or was it, I know that there's kind of like some black-green Delirium running around again too,
which was more
control-oriented.
One was Delirium and one was Snek. So it was both iterations. And both seemed pretty strong against, you know, what I was trying to do. But, you know, small sample size. Obviously my deck is capable of getting off to pretty quick starts. But Glorybringer is expensive in a deck like that. Payoff is huge. So it might be worth it, but
like
more than anything,
dragon huge.
It was so fun to play. I mean, people are like, we should ban Glorybringer in Limited. Why isn't this card mythic? I don't know why it's not mythic, but you can't go banning cards in Limited.
That's true. It does feel like a mythic card.
But, like, people play Limited because they love to crack bombs like that. Like, it's just fun. So
we
got to just live with that aspect of it.
But there are things that kill it.
Yeah. You can kill it, you know. There's four damage running around.
Exactly.
Final Reward is a card. Cast Out's a card. But I'm excited to play more with some of these Craig Wesco builds because these decks are right up my alley and they were really fun, even though I was getting destroyed by black green.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, did it also have stuff like did it have like the Glory Bound Initiate, the 3/1 with Exert?
Yes.
That can become like a 4/4 lifelink.
Yes, Glory Bound Initiate was kind of the headliner, and then it had the cards you would expect from the older version, like Thalia's Lieutenant, Thraben Inspector, and Town Gossipmonger. What was was stuff that you would see in the mono white version, like Expedition Envoy, for example, or Hanweir Militia Captain, which I did have. But it was really cool. I'm gonna play more with it. If you're getting to standard right now, has there been a deck that you've just seen kind of on the periphery that you would be interested in either building or playing?
You know, I'm holding out hope that there is a control deck out there.
Yeah.
Because what do I want besides the full-fledged return of control?
Well, I think there is.
That's it.
I mean,
yeah. So I'm kind of hoping that out of the Pro Tour, something that we see or that something that we find is someone brings like some sweet Jeskai or some sweet Grixis control decks that do well.
I mean, Torrential Gearhulk is still a card.
Yeah, absolutely it is. It's still super powerful. And there's still lots of, like, online the other day, I was playing through a standard league, and I played against, a Jeskai cycling Drakehaven control deck.
What? That's cool.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Which was super cool. So basically it had some counter spells and some kill spells and that sort of thing. But then eventually like its win condition was like just drawing a bunch of cards and then like cycling and with Drakehaven in play and making a bunch of 2/2 Drakes. It was great.
That's so sweet.
It made me want to pick up and play that deck for sure.
Dude, if Drakehaven is in standard, that's an awesome standard.
Yeah.
Well, see.
Whew. Yeah.
We will all see what happens coming up this weekend. Tune into the Pro Tour and see what the pros have decided on. I'm going to be on the edge of my seat as we start the first round because we usually kick things off with a pretty cool new brew in round one. So
yeah, absolutely.
Right from the start.
I'm super excited to see it as well. I also wonder if there's like any kind of green-red ramp deck out there maybe.
Mm-hmm.
If there's like, I know that some people were playing around with zombies decks.
Absolutely. Potentially. That would be super cool to see. I mean.
Yeah, with like a lot of like graveyard recursion and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, because we've got like Scrap Heap Scrounger comes back, Dread Wanderer comes back. We have a Zombie Lord now. That would be really
exactly.
Neat to
There's
see.
Like tons of things. And I don't know if any of them have like Prized Amalgam even or stuff like that. That have been around in Standard for a little bit, but haven't quite found their niche yet.
So in the green red ramp deck, what are we ramping to?
You know, that's a good question.
Ulamog?
I think like maybe Ulamog, or I was thinking more of just like mid-range ramp in terms of playing stuff like just like playing Chandra a turn earlier, like playing the 4-mana Chandra on turn 3 or playing Glorybringer on turn 4.
Yeah, both of those things seem pretty good.
Yeah, that sort of thing. But I don't know if there's like enough like power in that deck, for instance, to carry it through.
All right, well, tune in, everybody, twitch.tv/magic for some sweet, sweet Pro Tour action starting on Friday. First draft, then standard. I'm gonna cook up some pizza rolls here in Nashville and have them under the desk so that I can feast.
What?
So I can feast. Weird. While I'm watching what's going on. Flavor Text Theater presents The Dating Game.
That's right. I'm going to crack a booster over here, and I will select the bachelor or bachelorette from it. And then Maria is going to have a couple of suitors from over in her pack, and then we'll just do a classic dating game scenario. All right, so hey guys, I'm super excited to meet all of you. You know, there's already five, you know, potential suitors that I've looked at and then gotten rid of. You know, they're gone now. But now that there's five of them that are gone, like, now I feel like I'm ready, you know, to really find love, to really, like, you know, start getting out there. So let's start off with my first question, which is, can you tell me what your favorite day of the week is and why?
Okay. Hello, contestant number one here. My favorite day of the week is Sunday. The day of praising the God Pharaoh, although I praise him every day if I could, and I do praise the God Pharaoh. hail to his horns. Sunday, the day of worship, is my favorite day.
All right. Interesting. Next contestant.
Oh, my favorite day of the week is any day I can eat some entrails. Which for me is every day. I would say when the Luxa is at its most full is the day that I go down to the banks and I feast on whatever rotting carcass I can find. What day did I say? Any day that I can eat an entrail. That's my favorite day.
Oh, eat an entrail. Interesting. Well, all right. And third contestant.
I'm too old for this crap. I don't have a favorite day of the week. My favorite day of the week will be when I finally die because I'm so old. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it, and I'm sick of you, and I'm sick of all the kids get off my lawn.
Wow. Very interesting. All right. Well, I guess my favorite day is any day where I kind of identify with number two, with contestant two, because I love eating boats. Just entire boats. Any day that I could eat an entire boat is a good day for me. So second question, if you had a favorite flavor of ice cream, what would it be?
Hello, Bachelor, I'm contestant one here. My favorite ice cream is the ice cream that the God Pharaoh likes, which there's no scripture on what his favorite ice cream is, but I can imagine it's something spicy, something spicy, because he rains his spice down on us. I would like to pay one for some ice cream, and then when I do, I will feel like I've gained two life, you know.
Interesting. Praise be the God Pharaoh. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Contestant two, same question.
My favorite flavor of ice cream is kidney, as well as lower large intestine. Large intestine is my favorite flavor personally. I have a best friend who also loves to eat. His favorite flavor is gallbladder. And my other friend who loves to get ice cream with me, his favorite flavor is stomach lining.
Stir the sands. Thank you so much for that answer.
Oh, yes. You're welcome. I hope you choose me for a date. I'll bring my friend.
Contestant number three, same question.
Ice cream. I hate all ice cream. What is ice cream but for the young people? Get off my lawn. I won't eat it. I'm just going to sit down here in my chair by the river. And I don't have a gun to tell you to get off my lawn, but I do have a pair of sharp things attached to my body.
Wow.
Back in my day, we didn't have ice cream. We took a cow's udder and just put it in our mouth, and that was good enough.
Wow. Great. Thank you. You know, my favorite ice cream flavor is boat. I love the taste of boats. I guess my final question to contestants one and three is, what's your take on the undead?
Well, this is contestant one here, and
being dead is obviously the greatest honor because the god Pharaoh has chosen us. So I look forward to the day that I shuffle off this mortal coil. I lose my two life, or life, sorry, whatever it is. I gain my two life by losing my two life. Do you understand what I'm saying? If that makes any sense. You will lose life, but I will gain it. And by that I mean I will go to the afterlife in glory, and you will lose. Praise be to the god Pharaoh.
Great. Great. Very interesting. And last contestant, same. Or Faith of the Afterlife. Devoted. Thank you so much. First contestant, oh! Faith of the Devoted.
Nailed it.
but last contestant, same question. How do you feel about the undead?
The undead. Look, I'm basically undead. I'm so old and I'm just ready for death that you might as well call me undead. I'm crispy. If I had skin, you'd say it was old and wrinkly and crispy, but I don't. I've got a hard candy shell. But I'm still old, and I'm still basically dead, but I'm alive. Get off my lawn.
Well, interesting. I'm going to think about that one for a second. I will tell you that my take on the undead is that I don't mind making undead out of the people in the boats I have devoured. God.
People in the boats.
Yeah, you know, like I love eating boats, I love eating people in boats, and now that there's five other contestants before this that are gone, they're gone. Now I'm ready to like really attack and attack the problem of how am I going to fall in love?
God. This eating boats thing is really throwing me off.
What? Look, I'm a big old water snake who loves eating boats.
Oh. River serpent, is it you?
I am river serpent. I can't attack unless there's five or more cards in the graveyard. Okay, let's see. I am very confused about contestant number three.
I'm old, I'm blue, I live down by the river, I've got two sharp pointy hands.
You have two sharp pointy hands?
Yes. What? I wouldn't call them pointy so much Hold as on. Pinchy. You are just going to die when you realize what it is.
I'm sure.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Yes,
it's
tell
just
me.
It's
me. You're ancient crab. Wait, you're ancient crab.
Got there.
Damn it. Ancient crab, why?
Hello, welcome back to the dating game. This time, I'm the Bachelorette, and I'm looking for love. I've been looking in a lot of the wrong places over my life. I've had some really bad relationships, and I've created a lot of bad relationships, too. But I want to know if these three bachelors have what it takes to keep up with me and my entourage. So, bachelor number one, can you tell me, if you had an entourage, who would be in it?
I'm sorry, can you ask that question one more time?
If you had an entourage, who would be in it?
Well, you know, my entourage would be made up of a mix of every single type of person, every single type of creature that's out there, because it's easier to blend in a crowd. There's, so many different ways that I could appear if the people that I'm appearing with all appear different ways.
Oh, all right. Same question, bachelor number two.
It's just going to be a bunch of, I can't really talk about it because I'm not supposed to talk about it, but there's like a group that I'm with. And sometimes when we fight each other, we fight. So I would hang out with those guys because I just want to get out there and I want to fight them.
Ooh, I like
I'm really into fighting.
With a fighting spirit. Bachelor number three. Yeah. Same question.
Anyone who I think, like, I could help out, just I like to really be useful. Like especially so it's like, you know, anyone who wants me around, I don't know if I could lead an entourage. I'm more of a member of an entourage, and I like, you know, I do important work.
So something you should know about me is that I love Halloween. The creepier the better, and that's when my followers really come out in style. I want to know what your favorite holiday is and why.
You know, this is contestant number one again. I don't know that I really have a favorite holiday because I like all of the holidays. I don't like to be too easy to pin down. You know, whatever your if your favorite holiday is Halloween, my favorite holiday is Halloween, you know?
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
But, you know, that's not to say that Halloween is always going to be my favorite holiday. If you and I ever broke it off and I started seeing someone new, my new favorite holiday would be their favorite holiday.
Oh, interesting. Vizier of many faces, thank you for playing the dating game.
yes, that is me.
Bachelor number two, same question.
Yeah, so I would say that my favorite holiday is Fourth of July, because it seems like it's a good day when I could go out and, I could throw on a jacket and then go out and find a fight. I could find a place to really, you know, like show how tough I am, because I really like to, you know, I like to go over the top sometimes. And when I go over the top, I can get like, I can really deal some damage to people. So yeah, 4th of July.
Is that you, Cartouche of Strength? Is that you?
No. No, but I've been known to hang out with a Cartouche of Strength.
Oh, you know, trial of strength?
We just share a color is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Bachelor number three, same question.
Yeah. You know, I like Memorial Day. Because, you know, being a mummy, there's like, you know, there's something special to me about Memorial Day. Like, it's a day to remember, and I can remember when I was alive. And also, it's, you know, it's in the summer, so it's starting to get hot. So I feel like I can be really useful.
Oh, that's a great answer. Are you those who serve?
Sorry, one more time?
Those who serve?
No, that's not me.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, right, it's okay. I like to be useful by helping people cool off.
Oh, fan bearer.
Yeah, that's me.
Lovely. All right, I still need a question for contestant number two. So, besides having my entourage when I walk around, I'd like to give my friends, my special friends, a gift. And I want to know what kind of gift would you give me?
I would give you the gift of like two more damage, okay?
Two more damage.
If I'm like trying really hard.
Oh, hooded brawler. You know,
yeah, that's me. That's me.
Hooded brawler.
Are you? Let's see. Bachelorette?
Yes.
Are you the Archfiend of Ifnir?
No, but that is a great guess. I do come with an entourage, and I like to give my friends positive presents.
You like to give your friends presents?
In the form of plus one, plus one.
Oh.
My favorite holiday is Halloween.
Who are you?
I give my friends plus one, plus one, and I come with two people in my entourage. Two of my friends in my entourage. I'm not a creature.
Oh, are you Liliana's mastery?
That's right. And I'm in foil.
Ooh, nice.
All right, so these cards are heading into the pile for the Patreon winner for the month of May. These will go into our drawing. A patron who has been a patron for any amount of time is eligible for this drawing. So go on over to patreon.com/mtacast and enter. Well, everybody, that's our show. Thanks for tuning in and joining us for a rundown of Sealed, Standard, Draft, and, of course, Flavor Text Theater. Remember to head to patreon.com/mtacast to become a member of the Less Than 1% Club is the Best Than 1% Club family. And, of course, thank you again to cardkingdom.com/mtacast, the place to buy your singles if you're hitting up a standard PPTQ this coming weekend or in the coming weekends. Just any place, anything you want for magic, cardkingdom.com is the place to go. Tell them you want an MTA cast sticker in your order, and they will throw one in there because that's just the kind of awesome people that they are. So, Megan, hurry up and get on that plane and get to Nashville already.
I will. And remember, if you're in Nashville, come say hi to us. Or if you're going to be in Montreal, come say hi to me.
Absolutely. We will have more from the Pro Tour next week on Magic the Amateuring, which will be really exciting. But until then, of course, this weekend it's coming up, twitch.tv/magic. Tune in to see all the action and, you know, potentially our smiling faces every so often. And, you know, thanks for hanging out. And if you've got a henge near you, you know, send a picture. We want to see pictures of your local henge.